This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And Happy New Year's Eve, everybody. But before we start looking forward, this is our last chance to ring out the old, the news of 2007, to be exact. From the tragic shootings at Virginia Tech to the term wide stance taking on a whole host of new meanings, what was the top news story of last year? And we have an email challenge for you. What was the best quote from 2007? Email us, talk@npr.org. Again, the address, talk@npr.org, for the best quote of 2007. We'll tally your favorites later in the hour. And later in the program, Joel Stein joins us for a satirical look at the gloom that awaits us in the coming year. But first, what story from 2007 tops your news list? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And you can send us an entry on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. We'll talk with an editor at National Geographic about some of their top stories and with an editor at Foreign Policy about stories we may have missed. We begin, though, with Andy Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for People in the Press, who actually surveys public opinion to identify the stories we were most interested in. He's with us here in Studio 3A. And Happy New Year's, Andy.
Happy New Year, Neil.
And the number one story of the year happened at the gas station.
I used to go clubbing every Friday with my girls, and now I can't even go. I go every other Friday. Every other Friday. And when I get paid, it's gas, rent, and cafe. I hope it goes down, like, soon, or I'm just going to ride my bike.
Gas prices were the number one story of the year?
As they often are. Gas prices ring the American public's bell. In May 20th, our weekly survey showed 52% saying they were following very closely, and almost as many others have said they were following fairly closely. Almost universal interest in gasoline prices. It's unfailing almost.
And you track this week by week. Does this go week by week with the gas prices as they go up and down?
As the prices go up, interest goes up. As they go down, they moderate somewhat, obviously. But gasoline has a way of prices have a way of focusing the American public's mind.
Amid wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and a presidential campaign, I wonder, do you survey what people think is the most important story or what they're most interested in?
We ask people what stories they have been how closely they've been following various stories, and we ask which one story have they been following most closely. Now, we get the list from a ongoing content analysis that another project of the Pew Research Center does, the Project for Excellence in Journalism, continuously monitors what the media is covering. So we're looking at what the media is covering and how the public is responding.
So they have, for example, rising price of gasoline is listed for the week of May 20th to 25th at 52% people most interested in. But obviously, they were interested in other weeks, too.
They were, but that was the peak week. But in that week, it only constituted 4% of the news whole. Relatively little coverage, but a lot of attention.
Iraq continues to be a major story. In your top 20, I count 9 of the top 20 stories beginning at number 5. 9 of those stories directly or indirectly connected to the war in Iraq.
Yes, Iraq continues to be a big story, both the stories about what's gone on in Iraq, what's happened to soldiers when they've come home, the prospects for peace and the policy issues. But one of the things about this year, Neil, was that interest in the story of Iraq generally declined over the course of the year. We were at about 40% saying they were following very closely back in January, February. By the end of the year, the last quarter, that percentage was closer to 25-26%. There was less news coverage of Iraq. The news was there were fewer reports of casualties, and therefore there was less pressing interest in Iraq. But that's not to say that Iraq doesn't continue to be a dominant issue and an important story.
That terrible squeaking sound is your headphones there around your neck squeaking against each other. There you go, Andy. Thanks
sorry
very
about
much.
That. Sorry
That's
about
all right.
That.
Took me a while to... What was that sound? Took me a while to figure that out. A lot of these other stories, the Virginia Tech shootings, bridge collapse in Minneapolis, California, man-made and natural disasters.
This was a year in which the public paid a lot of attention to natural disasters. Virginia Tech shooting, 45% said they followed that very closely. At the same time, the media was covering it incredibly closely. It represented 51% of the news that was covered in the week of April 15th through to the 20th. So even as there's a lot of public attention to these disaster stories, both man-made and natural, that reflects what people are seeing on cable and network and in their newspapers.
We see some stories that are, you know, sort of outrages, the recall of toys made in China with lead additives in the paint, that sort of thing. But relatively few of those seem to break into the top 20 anyway.
They don't break into the top 20, but they have pretty strong interest. One of the stories that comes up is the rise of antibiotic-resistant staph infections. It represented 18% of the people that we interviewed back in October said that was the number one story for them. It's not dominant, mm-hmm. but that's a very sizable percentage. That represented only 3% of the news hole that week. So that means this is a story that really has legs, so to speak.
It's untapped potential where the news media, us basically, including us, we missed it.
Exactly. But there are other stories that the news media paid a lot of attention to and the public was more indifferent. The Petraeus Report. A good deal of 36% of the news hole back in September 9th through 14th. Only 14% of the people that we interviewed said it's the number one story for me that week. Pakistani instability in November. 11% following said it was their top story, but it represented 17% of the news hole.
Mm.
Too
soon to get this past week, I assume.
Pardon me?
It's too soon to get results from this past
too
week.
Too soon to get results from next week. But listeners can tune in to dial into our website, either pewresearch.org or the Project for Excellence.
And we'll have links to both those sites at npr.org/talk.
Terrific. The international news stories tended to get more coverage and less attention, but also the Beltway stories. Only 2% of Americans said, and the week that Karl Rove resigned, said, that's the story I've been following.
Mm-hmm. Or the Scooter Libby verdict.
Or the Scooter Libby. The Libby verdict was indicative of the whole public interest in the whole Plamegate thing over the past 2 years.
We're talking with Andy Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for People and the Press. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. What's the top news story of 2007? And let's begin with Alexander. Alexander calling us from Redding in California.
Hi. I think the top news story is the CIA destroying the tapes that may or may not show them torturing people. And it's ironic that they're trying to justify it by saying that these people were held in prisons outside of America, which I think are illegal. So how is that a justification for destroying the tape?
Well, what the justification is was almost beside the point. But for you, is somebody, by the way, taking piano lessons in your house?
Yeah, my sister. She's such a brat, she wouldn't stop playing.
That's all right. Sisters, they're born to be brats to their brothers and vice versa. But anyway, tell her good luck in the new year with her piano. The CIA tapes, Andy, is that another one of these inside the Beltway stories that doesn't make much of a splash outside?
No, I think it does make a fair amount of splash. It's not so much of an inside Beltway story as the Libby verdict or Karl Rove. I don't have a number on it right here, but it is one of these stories where people are see the tension between national security and protecting civil liberties and the way we do things with respect to jurisprudence and fairness and so on and so forth, and there's a lot of interest in those stories.
But Alexander, to be fair, I guess it's one of the top stories of 2005, which was when the tapes were destroyed. We just didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the call, and again, wish your sister good luck with the piano.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get, this is Gary. Gary's with us from Memphis, Tennessee.
Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I think the top news story is unfortunately what happened last week with the assassination of Mrs. Bhutto in Pakistan. The reason I believe that is because it puts an entire nuclear nation on a razor's edge that could possibly go over to the Islamicists, and that would be a threat to us as Americans.
Indeed, the extent of that threat people will debate about, but Andy Kohut, it certainly filled a lot of the news hole this past week. No question
I think
about
so,
that.
And I think what we will see when we complete our survey next week, that there was a tremendous attention to the assassination and concern about Pakistan for the very simple reason that it has nuclear weapons, they have problems with Islamic extremists, and instability in such a country like that is something that is a big problem for America, and Americans are aware of it.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
And now let's see if we can go to our next caller. And this is going to be, is that Lisa? Lysia? Liesl? Nathan?
Hi, this is Nathan.
Nathan, where are you? I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong word.
Nathan from Lisle, Illinois.
Lisle, Illinois, which I thought was Liesl. Go ahead.
No problem. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The issue that I think really affected me in 2007 was climate change, especially during the Bali conference about a month ago. It seems like this year you finally have the issue emerging from that of simply determining whether climate change is occurring to, okay, it is occurring, what can we do about it?
The year that Al Gore won both an Oscar and a Nobel Prize for his work publicizing the climate change. Andy Kohut, does that show up on your surveys?
Well, what has shown up on our surveys is how there is increasing concern, American concern, about global warming and environmental issues more generally. This is not an issue where there are big news events that generate extraordinary amounts of coverage, so it doesn't show up on a list like this or high on a list like this, but that's not to say that this is not a story. This is not an issue that doesn't increasingly concern the American public.
Because there are different stories that strike this list in different ways.
Sure, and you know, the events, when things happen, you get more news coverage, and therefore you get more news interest. Now, there are other stories that are more subtle, and things don't happen all of a sudden. We have to wait, you know, 150 years for our cataclysmic impact.
And Nathan, we were all deploring our lack of forward thinking and not deciding we actually needed to do a remote from that conference there in Bali. So,
yeah, that's right. And hopefully in 2008, well, we'll see what we can do. I mean, another big thing coming out of Bali was, you know, the United States changing its position slightly, and the rest of the world really working together on that.
All right. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And Happy New Year to you. And Andy Kohut, we have to let you go. Good wishes and have a great new year. We'll see you.
Thank you, Neil. Same to you.
Andy Kohut, director of the Pew Research Center for People and the Press. We're looking back at the top story of 2007 and, of course, our email challenge. What was the best quote of the past year? talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is NPR News. Right now, we're remembering the top news story of 2007. What were the events or personalities that kept you tuned in? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can read what other listeners have to say at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. We also have an email challenge going. What was your favorite quote from 2007? Cammie wrote us, "This is my absolute favorite quote from this year. As yesterday's positive report card show, children's do learn when standards are high and results are measured." President George W. Bush on the No Child Left Behind Act, Washington, D.C., September 26, 2007. And this don't know who this is from, but Huckabee at the Republican YouTube debate was asked regarding capital punishment, what would Jesus do? His response, "Jesus was smart enough not to run for elective office." What was your favorite quote of the year? talk@npr.org. Joining us now is David Braun, who's the Vice President of News and Editorial Services for NationalGeographic.com. He's with us today to talk about National Geographic's top stories of 2007. On the line with us from his home in McLean, Virginia. Nice to have you on the program today.
Good to be here.
And I was curious at the story that topped your list. And first of all, how did you select these stories?
Stories selected by popularity, most number of page views, so entirely reader-generated.
And the first one is sort of, counterintuitive a little bit.
Counterintuitive because if you think of all the amazing discoveries and wonders that were reported about in this year, the number one story was about global warming.
And this story showed that on Mars, Mars is warming too.
That's right, and this is what made it so popular. There was a controversial theory put forth by a Russian scientist that said ice is melting both on Earth and Mars, therefore the warming on Earth is not human-caused. He's very much in a minority.
He's very much in a minority, but people are interested to read about it. I was also, I mean, some of these, I have to say, they read a little bit like, you know, the news of the weird headlines. Meteor crash in Peru caused mysterious illness. Jesus' tomb found in Israel. Interspecies sex. Huge underground ocean found beneath Asia. I was wondering if I was reading National Geographic or The Onion for a minute.
I think that's in part reflects the general chatter on the internet. A lot of the stories are viral. They get picked up by the social networking sites. People share them. They email them to one another. And these are the kinds of stories that surface.
And number two on your list, though, is monster glowing squid caught on camera. And this is one of those where people just want to ooh and ah at this amazing picture.
That is true. It was an amazing video. Actually, last year, the number one story was also about giant squid. And that there's a great interest in these monsters of the deep.
In monsters, well, of course there's interest in monsters of the deep. We're all terrified of them. But we're interested, too, in the monsters of eons gone by. Two dinosaur stories, both about things that were uncovered.
That's right. The most popular dinosaur story was about the dinosaur mummy, which was the unusual finding not only of fossilized bones, but also of tissue and even some of the skin.
And that enabled scientists to see for the first time, or you know, actually confirm for the first time, what those things may have actually looked like.
That's right. It even changes the way scientists think about what they look like. For example, more muscle around the tail.
More muscle around the tail than we had thought.
Than we had previously thought, because this is the most, or some of the most fossilized muscle that we've come across.
The other one was Stonehenge settlement found, the settlement of the people who worked on Stonehenge, at least apparently.
That's right, and this is the village that very likely was used by the builders of Stonehenge. Scientists are calling it Widhenge because there's a lot of timber involved, and a vast earthwork which linked the Widhenge to the Stonehenge at a great ceremonial site.
And now our British tourist officials erecting a life-size replica of a Widhenge to put next to their life-size replica of Stonehenge?
I wouldn't be surprised. The interesting thing about Stonehenge, of course, is that it was built round about the time the Great Pyramids were being built. So interesting that people think the ancient civilizations were back there in Egypt, but there was a lot going on in England, too.
And not so long ago, they discovered the workers' housing for some of the pyramids, too.
That's right. Exactly the same.
I guess everybody's got the same logistical problem. Of these, which is your favorite story of the year?
I was very intrigued by the crater that was formed by the mysterious Russian comet or asteroid almost exactly 100 years ago. There's always been evidence of this, hundreds of square miles of devastation over Siberia. Nobody could find any evidence. They looked at this lake 5 miles from the impact, thought it couldn't possibly be a crater because it was elongated. And it turns out it was about a 30-yard-wide fragment of whatever it was that kind of skipped the earth and gouged out this elongated crater, which became the lake.
And this year, it's been identified.
It's been identified this year.
And again, the big gouge in the Yucatan Peninsula, people think that was also an asteroid crash, the one that got the dinosaurs.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks very much for being with us.
My great pleasure.
And Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
David Braun is Vice President of News and Editorial Services for NationalGeographic.com and joined us by phone from his home in McLean, Virginia. And let's get another listener on the line. And this is Alex. Alex with us from Indianapolis.
Yeah, hi. My opinion about what the top story was is actually the ongoing inability of the newly elected, slightly majority Democratic Congress to take really concrete steps towards ending the war in Iraq.
It's certainly an ongoing story, too, that after being elected, a lot of people think precisely for that purpose a year ago November.
Yes, that's right. There was so much anticipation coming into the year, and it just over and over again. Nothing really seems to happen.
Okay, and I guess that'll be part of the congressional race campaign as we come up to November 2008. But thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to, this is going to be Mehdi, is that right?
Mehdi.
Okay, calling us from San Francisco. Go ahead, please. What's the top story of 2007?
To me, without a doubt, it's the assassination of Benazir Bhutto.
And that because?
That is because she's, in my opinion, one of the few hope of the feasibility of democracy in the Muslim/Arab world, because I think that could never be done by a Western country, not in a million years. But also, Neil, I think she's a good image that symbolizes a religion whose image has been damaged by media propaganda as well as religious extremists in recent years.
Okay.
So it's a great loss.
A great loss. I think everybody can agree on that. Thanks very much for the call.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it. Here's an email from Chris in Lakeville, Minnesota. Locally and nationally, I think the I-35W bridge collapse in Minneapolis is the biggest story. The fallout from what happened here turned the focus of the nation, at least temporarily, to our slowly crumbling infrastructure. This is something which will be dogging us for years, and unless we designate many resources to what physically holds our country together, something much worse is going to happen. Let's go to John, and John's with us from Sioux City in Iowa.
Hi. Hey. For me, it's the unprecedented early start and intensity of the presidential campaign.
Well, you get exposed to more of that than most of us.
Well, you know, I've been here through a number of presidential campaigns, and it certainly seems to me that we've had candidates from both parties through here many more times and starting much earlier than usual.
Well, in part because the caucuses are happening earlier than usual. Everything's been moved up.
Well, that's true, but it's been a number of months. I think maybe because we don't have an incumbent, we don't have a vice president running. It's going to, I think, portend quite a year for 08.
And are you looking forward to Friday when you don't see any political advertisements?
My experience has taught me that after Thursday night, we will be Iowa who.
And are you going to go caucus on Thursday?
I will indeed.
Well, have a great time.
Hey, thank you.
And Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
So far, we've focused on the most popular and most covered news stories of 2007. Foreign Policy magazine has a slightly different take. There are 10 top stories we missed. Blake Hounchell is the online editor for Foreign Policy magazine, and he's with us here in Studio 3A to defend his choices. Nice to be with us.
Good to be here.
So what's the top missed story of 2007?
I'd say, and we would say, the top story that everyone missed this year was the beginning of the cyber wars. You might have heard that Estonia, the small Baltic republic, was attacked by what seems to have been Russian hackers. That was back in the summer. And there were actually a number of incidents. The Chinese allegedly hacked into the Pentagon. And lots of British companies have been warned about Chinese hackers breaking into their networks. And so it's surprising that everyone seems to have missed that the Air Force is setting up something called Cyberspace Command. This is actually going to be the military's sort of tip of the spear when it comes to fighting a cyber war.
And obviously something we're all going to be focusing on after it happens.
Absolutely.
After it happens to us, in other words.
Right. We never seem to focus on these things until disaster strikes.
Speaking of stories, we missed one we missed a few years ago. It was, of course, the rise of Al-Qaeda. And there's an interesting development in that story, too, number three on your list.
Well, you know, we heard back in the summer that Al-Qaeda was gaining strength in Pakistan, at the same time as it seemed to be losing ground in Iraq. And so it's surprising that everyone seems to have overlooked a big story coming out of Saudi Arabia during Ramadan. One of the top Saudi clerics, who's kind of known as a renegade cleric and a mentor of Osama bin Laden, he actually denounced Osama bin Laden on TV, and he said that the jihad in Iraq and Afghanistan had done no good. It actually had backfired and hurt the Muslims.
How many Muslim children and women have been killed by Al-Qaeda? How many countries must we destroy?
Right, and it was a sort of astonishing because back in 2004, this was the same cleric that was calling for attacks on U.S. troops in Fallujah.
So interesting turn of events. You keep hearing reports of so many Al-Qaeda operatives being picked up and arrested. And then, again, the CIA estimate that they've reformulated themselves in bases on the Pakistan-Afghanistan border.
Yeah, it seems as like they're gaining in Pakistan just as they're losing in the Arab world.
Hmm. Another story we missed this year, you titled "The Cubans Are Coming."
Right. We focused a lot on Fidel Castro. He's on TV. He's wearing tracksuits. Is he going to retire? What's going to happen with his brother Raul? Is his brother going to take formal control? And meanwhile, there were thousands of Cubans migrating quietly to the United States. This wasn't, people on boats like we saw back in the 90s. This was people paying smugglers, wealthy people, doctors, lawyers, to get out because of the Cuban economy.
Interesting that this is happening quietly, as you said, as opposed to all of the attention there was a boat lost with, I think, 22 people aboard just a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, those stories get tremendous amount of attention. This quiet immigration, though, it tends to go under the radar.
Right. I mean, there are no dramatic photos when a lawyer pays a smuggler to send them to Miami, illegally.
And we'll again provide a link to your list at our website, npr.org/talk. But I wanted to add one more, and that's waiting on the Iraqi Navy. What do you mean by that story?
Well, you know, we talked a lot in 2007 about permanent U.S. military bases in Iraq. There was a lot of discussion by presidential candidates denouncing the idea. Meanwhile, the U.S. military has been working to directly guard U.S. Iraqi oil facilities, which is, you know, obviously a politically charged issue. They've built this facility on top of one of the world's foremost exporting centers for oil in the world. And the Iraqi Navy is nowhere near ready to assume control. The Pentagon says
the Iraqi Navy, such as it is, doesn't exist.
Well, they've got boats, but they're rusty hulks, according to the Wall Street Journal, which reported the story.
Hmm. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
And again, we'll provide a link to the Foreign Policy Magazine list of top 10 stories we missed in 2007 at our website, npr.org/talk. Blake Hounsell, the online editor for Foreign Policy, was kind enough to join us here today in Studio 3A. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Neil.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we've got some more quotes coming in from listeners for their favorite quote of the year. This is my favorite from Chris. I have a wide stance when going to the bathroom, Senator Larry Craig of Idaho. This from Leaf in Denver. Didn't President Bush say he'll fire anyone in his administration who committed a crime? That in reference to the Valerie Plame investigation. And this from Brooks. The quote came in response to a lawsuit filed against the Starkitect by MIT, Frank Gehry's who he's talking about, which alleges one of Frank Gehry's buildings on its campus has a structural problem that allows for leaks and mold growth. Gehry's response, my name is Frank Gehry and my buildings don't leak. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to, this is Jim. Jim calling us from Phoenix.
Yes.
Jim, what's the top story of 2007?
This may well become foreign policy, but about 30 days ago, about a month ago, the Oglala Lakota Sioux Nation withdrew from 33 U.S. treaties, declaring them invalid and announced their intent to reclaim their own sovereignty in the four states that their reservation area encompasses, and even issue you'd have to have documentation to be able to cross across their borders. They would. I thought that was a significant story. It dribbled across the AP, and then the next day there was nothing in the news about it. So I went to their website, and they have done exactly that, but it's practically attracted no attention at all.
Okay. Thanks very much for that. Let's see if we can get one more caller in, and this is going to be Emily. Emily with us from Pittsboro in North Carolina.
Hey, yeah, I'm right here.
Go ahead.
My story for 2007 is the News Corp purchase of Dow Jones for $5 billion and change, moving towards media consolidation.
So the purchase of the Wall Street Journal just confirmed, I think, last week.
Yep.
So another step towards media consolidation. All right. Thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
We have a lot of emails that we have to read to you from our quest for the greatest quote of 2007. This from Jim, and quote of the year, I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so. Oh, I think this is Miss Teen South Carolina, and I believe we have tape of Miss Teen South Carolina, asked why most Americans can't seem to find the United States on a blank map of the world.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S.
Well, she goes on and never quite answers the question and has suffered a zillion hits, but the winner for the quote of the year, this from Tom Brad in Cincinnati.
Don't tase me, bro.
That's right.
Don't tase me, bro.
That from the frantic demonstrator at a John Kerry rally in Florida, the UCF, I think, student who was tased shortly after he said that by the authorities. And, well, later the whole thing got dropped. Anyway, we appreciate all of you who sent in your suggestions, and thanks very much for that. Tomorrow, don't forget our obits of the year. If there's somebody we should remember better, send your suggestion to us, talk@npr.org. Coming up later on the Talk of the Nation opinion page, conjecture. Joel Stein makes predictions for 2008. If you'd like to join that conversation, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Before we go on to our next subject, one final email suggestion for the quote of 2007. This from Joanne in Vermont, and she writes, "Well, it had to be Rumsfeld."
There are known knowns. There are things we know that we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we now know we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we do not know we don't know.
That and "Don't Tase Me, Bro," clearly the quotes of the year.